Let's just go into the word. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that there is clarity as the truth of God's word is taught. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth. And we declare this morning that at the end of today's teaching, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Beautiful, 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 beautiful. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. It says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, it says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, we started looking at the word their fellowship yesterday as a word that speaks about a partnership or a common identity. So, we said that we have a common identity with the Son. And we said, God is faithful, by whom ye are called. Are we here? By whom ye are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, look at verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the what? Same judgment. Are we together? Now look at how John says that. Look at 1 John 1. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Now, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Now, that word there, fellowship, deals with partnership. And I will say that again, it deals with that which speaks about a common identity. So when scripture tells you we're in fellowship, what it's really saying is that what? We are in partnership. We're in fellowship will mean we are in partnership. That means we are members of an association. That means we have a joint participation. Are we together? You know, we are like a people who have come into a community, who have come into a communion. Are we together? So he says, truly our fellowship, look at verse 3 again. He says, truly, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that we also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, that is with his Son, Jesus Christ. Right? So the fellowship we have with the Father is the fellowship Jesus has with the Father. Right? So look at John. Look at John, look at John, look at John chapter 20, verse 17. John 20, verse 17. John chapter 20, verse 17. John chapter 20, look at John 20. Look at John 20, verse 17. It says, Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Are we together? So I ascend to my Father and your Father. So it means that by the resurrection, in the ascension, Jesus Christ will bring that same or share his identity with us. Are we together? So in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we see a shared identity as received by a man who eats of the good of the land, or who is born again, or who is born of water that is a spirit, or who has drank from the rivers of living water flowing out of his belly, or who is born of God. Are we together? Right? So look at Hebrews 2. Remember? So it means that the resurrection of Jesus is to bring fellowship between the saint and Jesus, or between the saint and the Father, so to say. Are we together? So the resurrection of Jesus is to bring fellowship between the saint and the Father. Now look at Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2, Hebrews 2, Hebrews 2, Hebrews 2, 11. Are you there? Look at Hebrews 2. Verse 11. So it says, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. Remember, Jesus in the resurrection will say, touch me not, for I go to my Father to make him, or I go to my Father and your Father. Right? So in the resurrection, Jesus has now called, or Jesus has sanctified us by the resurrection. Hebrews now says that both Jesus that sanctifies and we that are sanctified, we are all of one. One what? It says, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So if he says we are all of one of one, it means that he is saying we are all of one source. Are we together? Now, we said the Father is the source. The Father is our source. The Father is not a masculine word, neither is it a feminine word, right? What this is saying is that the Father will be the source of children, or the Father will be a source of a people that will have common identity. Or let me say it this way. The Father will be the source of people that will have a certain kind of fellowship. So he says that for which cause, he is not ashamed to call us brethren. Why? Because we are from the same womb of the resurrection. We are from the, so what is given from the womb of resurrection? The Spirit, right? So God the Father will be given, you know, through the resurrection of God the Son, and be given as God the Holy Spirit into our hearts, right? So what do we have? We have the indwelling of the Spirit. So it means that the relationship between God and the believer is a relationship that can be seen as the relationship between a father and his family. Right? So we have received a new heart means we are in fellowship with the Father. We've received a new Spirit means we are in fellowship with the Father. We've received God's forever abiding Spirit means we are in fellowship with the Father. So it means that when we believe the gospel, we've eaten or we've received, or we are now in fellowship, or we now have a common identity with the Son. Right? So such that Jesus in the resurrection will now be able to say his Father. We too can say his Father or my Father. So Jesus will say my Father. The believer will say my Father. Why? So because the reality of our relationship is certified with a seal, a mark of permanence, a proof of ownership, which is the Spirit of God we received in the resurrection. So the question now becomes, what is expected of the people who have received the Spirit? Are we together? Look at John 14. John 14. John 14, verse 1. John chapter 14, verse 1. John chapter 14, verse 1. Look at John chapter 14, verse 1. So Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. He now says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Now, the word there, house there, is the word from the Greek word oikia, right? The word there, mansions, is from the word mune. So when he says, in my Father's house are many mansions, what is he really saying? In my Father's oika are many munes, right? So in my Father's house, there is a word that can be used for both a building or a people. Are we together? In my Father's house, there is a word that can be used for a people or a building. Now, in the real sense, the question now becomes, what is the relationship between God and the believer? It is the relationship between a father and a people. Who are those people? They are his sons, that is his children, who have an inheritance. So in my Father's house, we can say, in my Father's household are many mansions, that is dwelling places. So we said the word demone is like a word used for a man going on a journey that stays in a place so that he can rest to continue his journey. Are we together? Or he can rest to further his journey. So the word there, mansions, they will deal with the dwelling place, right, of the Father, so which will be the believer. So the temple of God, in the real sense, will be God. Or will be the place where God himself stays and rests to continue his journey. Are we together? So he says, if it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. Now, verse 3 now says, if I go. Now, it's not a probability, it's a sin. So since I go and prepare a place for you. So what is the place God, Jesus is preparing? Jesus is preparing a place where we can now call God Father the way he will call God Father. Are we together? So Jesus will say my Father, you will say my Father. Are we together? That's why he says, since I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. It means that we will be sons of God, that is, we will be adopted sons that will stay in the position of sons. Are we together? Look at John 5. Now, where are these theories gotten from? Where are these theologies gotten from? Remember, Jesus, look at John 5. Jesus. Look at John 5, verse 45. Look at John 5, look at 46. It says, for had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Look at verse 47. If you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? So Jesus is saying, when you want to believe my words, you ought to believe the writings of Moses. When you believe the writings of Moses, you ought to believe my words. If you believe not his writings, it's actually very slim for you to actually say you believe my words, or it will be difficult to say you believe my words. Why? Because my words are from the writings, that is the teachings of Moses, by extension the prophets. But particularly in John 5, he's talking about the writings of Moses. How do we know that? He says, do not think I will accuse you, in verse 45, to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. In the real sense, it should not be a Moses accusing directly with his words, but with the writings standing as or standing against, or the writings of Moses bringing accusation. Are we together? For had you believed him, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? So it means that the theory of Jesus, or the theology of Jesus, will be found primarily in the writings of Moses. So it means that when we look at the writings of Moses, we ought to pay attention to what Moses wrote, so we can understand what Jesus said. Because if you want to understand what Jesus said, you need to look at what Moses wrote. Jesus says, if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Are we together? If you believe Moses, you would have believed me, for Moses wrote of me. If you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? So Jesus is talking the writings of Moses. So we need to go back. Okay, look at John 1. Look at John 1. John 1, 45. John chapter 1, verse 45. John chapter 1, verse 45. Look at John 1, 45. Remember, saints are people who have received the same spirit, who have come into a fellowship, that is a partnership, that is a koinonia, that is a communion, that is a community. So no saint is saved in isolation. Are you here? Right? We are saved as a people. Right? In the real sense, we just have ourselves believe the gospel to join the people who have been saved. So we are saved into a community. We are saved into a fellowship. We are saved into a partnership. We are saved into a communion. We are saved into, you know, all can go on and on. So look at John 1:45. Are we together? Right? So it means that the Christian faith is not a faith of isolation. The Christian faith is not a faith of standalone. The Christian faith is a communal faith. Why? Because we have come into a fellowship, such that Jesus even calls those who have come into that fellowship his brethren. Bible says, he that sanctified and those who are sanctified, he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So it means that we are called to be members of a people, or we are called as members of a people. So that's why Hebrews, we saw yesterday, chapter 12, which says, we have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. Hallelujah. The general assembly. An assembly, there, we look at that, is a word that deals with a festivity. Yeah, a festival. You don't have a festival in isolation. Right? We've come, we're a general assembly, that is the church, that is the called out of the firstborn. Right? Now, the firstborn and the called out, actually, we are all of one. We are the people who that firstborn can call his brethren. So look at John 1:45. Now, where is this theory gotten from? That's what we're trying to look at. Look at John 1:45. It says, Philip finds Nathanael, and Philip says unto Nathanael, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So when you see the writings of Moses in his doctrines or in his writings, and you see the writings of the prophet, yeah, you should be able to see that there is a focus, there is a fulcrum, there is a pointer to a person. And who is that person? Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Are we together? So it means that we need to pay attention a lot to Moses, because Jesus says, if you believe the writings of Moses, you ought to believe me. Now look at Genesis 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. So Moses says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, from this, the first thing you are looking at is the beginning and a creation. Now, what did Jesus say? Jesus says, if you believe Moses, you believe me, for he wrote of me. So it means that in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. We'll speak about a creation, about Jesus, or in regards to Jesus. Are we together? So in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. We'll speak about a creation that is unique or peculiar to Jesus, which we will call the new creation. Okay, hold your hands in Genesis 1 and go to Matthew 28, 18. Look at Matthew 28, verse 18. Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now go ye therefore in that power. Now the word the power is the word authority. So he says, Jesus says unto them, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So where is Jesus teaching heaven and earth from? First, you must understand, he said that Moses wrote about me. So it means that fundamentally you understand Jesus' heaven and earth by understanding Moses' heaven and earth. Are we together? So what is heaven and earth in regard to teach all nations? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost. What does it mean? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. So it means that the heaven and earth is a conversation about the authority of God in the resurrection. Are we together? So God created Genesis 1. Go back there. Genesis 1. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth will be a prophecy. A prophecy whereby Jesus will have authority and tell you what to do by the authority he has in heaven and in earth. Right? So when he now tells you the earth was without form and void and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Okay? Go back to Mark 7. Go to Mark 4. Look at Mark 4. Are we there? Look at Mark 4. Let me show you something quickly. Mark chapter 4, verse 3. Mark 4, verse 3. Now, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Are we together? There went out a sower to sow. Are we together? Look at verse 9. And he said unto them, he that hath ear, let him hear. Now, and when Jesus was alone, verse 10, they that were about him with the 12 asked him about the parable. So it means that when Jesus says, a sower went out to sow, it is a parable. What is a parable? A parable is a story, so to say, that points to another story or an illustration that points to something else. So why should you listen to a parable? The parable is not about the parabolic story, but about something else. So Jesus says, if you have ears, let him hear. Anybody that has ears, let him hear. So, and the 12 now asked him alone, what is this parable about? And he said unto them in verse 11, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them it is not. Unto them it is not. Are we together? So, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, right? And hearing they may hear and not understand. Now, if you hold your hands in Mark 4, remember we're in Genesis 1. Go to Psalm 78. Look at Psalm 78. Psalm 78. We're in Genesis 1. We went through Mark 4. We're trying to explain Genesis 1 through Mark 4. So Psalm 78 says, give ears, O my people, to my law. Right? Incline your ears to my words or the words of my mouth. That is, incline your ears to my teachings. Are we together? So it says, I will open my mouth in parable. Okay? Incline your ears. That means pay attention with your ears. That is, by extension, your heart. Right? To my words, to my teaching. Because I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. So where are we going to see the narrative of that which has been heard and known, told by the fathers? We will see that in Genesis. We will see that from the beginning. Are we together? So I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. That word here, old, is the word that speaks about the beginning. So it means that from the beginning, you will see what is called dark sayings. In the real sense, you will see them as parables coming out from God's mouth, or coming out as God's teaching, or God's word being taught. Are we together? So in the real sense, can you say the Bible is black and white? Yeah, it's a tricky conversation depending on the angle you are coming from. So when you say the Bible is black and white, what do you mean? Because in the real sense, whilst a man can see black and white, he actually should pay attention to the fact that there will be parabolic illustrations that will seem like dark sayings from the beginning. Are we together? So whilst we see parables, so look at it this way. I can say that, oh, there is this big baby. Are we together? Who goes all around from house to house preaching the gospel? Now, I have spoken of a big baby going going from house to house preaching the gospel. In the real sense, very few parents allow their babies, no matter how big, to go around from house to house. So it means that I can say a big baby, and actually speaking of a baby believer, you see that, right? That is actually still doing the work of the ministry of reconciliation. So what is black and white in that story? Black and white in that story, in the real sense, is the baby that is big. You will paint it in your mind. So if I say think of a pink elephant, you will paint a pink elephant in your mind. In the real sense, I can use a pink elephant that doesn't exist as a parable to explain something else, right? So I can say there's a big pink elephant in a room. room, right? There's a big pink elephant in the room. What is the black and white to that story? The black and white to that story is that there is a big pink elephant in a room that you have painted. But the reality of that means in the black and white reality of life, so to say, right? Let me say it this way. In the black and white reality of that parable, you have painted a pink big elephant. In reality, there is no pink elephant on earth. I have never seen. I don't think there is. Right, so what did I do? I have used a parable, I have uttered dark sayings, right? It's left for you to know that in my black and white, there is something more. So Jesus, God will say, incline your ears, that is, pay attention to my words, right? I will open my mouth in a parable, I will utter dark sayings from the beginning. Are we together? So go back to Mark 4. So Jesus will say, and unto you in verse 13, it is, you know this parable. Now, what is a parable? An illustration pointing to another illustration. So, know you not this parable, right? And how then shall you know all parables? He now says, verse 14, the sower soweth the word. Now, remember, that means he gave a parable from verse 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower. So, the black and white of that conversation is that there is a sower and a sower sows seed. Are we together? The nitty-gritty or the attention you ought to pay to that black and white conversation is in verse 13. He says, know ye not this parable? How will you know all parables? That is, this is a fundamental parable for the believer or for the man or for a man to know, to understand scriptures, right? So he says, the sower soweth the word, the sower soweth the word. Now, ideally, in black and white conversation, the sower soweth a seed. All together, right? You will now see Luke now tells you the seed is the word of God, right? The seed is the word of God. Or you will now see that the sower sower the seed or the word is actually the sower sower the seed. So it means that when you go back to Genesis, you will start seeing utterances of what you will call supposed dark sayings. That is what you will call parables. Are we together? So he says that, and they are they which fell by the wayside where the word is sown. So what is sown? Black and white life. So in the black and white reality or black and white life, what is sown is seed. In the Christian faith, Jesus is saying that this parable, what is sown is the word. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. Hold on. Where does the sower sow seed? The sower soweth a seed on the ground, on the earth. Where does this sower that Jesus speaks about in the parable sow it? Now, first, what does he sow? He sows the word. Where does he sow the word? In the heart. That is why Satan comes to their heart to take away the seed that is sown. So it means that from Genesis chapter 1, you will see a parable of a sower sowing a seed. Are we together? Now the sowing of a seed is on the heart of man as compared to the parable used to speak of the sowing of a seed of a farmer on the ground of the earth or the earth or the earth's surface. So go to Genesis 1. Genesis chapter 1. Look at Genesis chapter 1. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So for every agriculturist, for every farmer, there must be a beginning, right? What will you have in the beginning? Now go to John chapter 1. Look at John 1. Look at John 1. John 1. John 1 1. Look at John 1, verse 1. Are you there? Look at John chapter 1. Verse 1. In the beginning was the word. So John will tell you that from the beginning that Moses wrote about, what you should find is the word. And the word was with God. So what you should find with God, the chief farmer, the chief agriculturist, is the word. So the word was with God, and the word was God. Hey. So in the beginning of a farming season, what do you have in the hands of a farmer? The farmer must have seeds. So what is the seed in John 1? The seed is the word. The word was with God. The word was God. Where does a farmer plant his seed? A farmer plants his seed on the ground. Where does God plant his seed? God plants his seed on the hearts of men. Remember the parable in Mark 4. So the sower that soweth a seed, soweth the word, that is the word, is planted on the heart of men. Are we together? So the word was with God and the word was God. Look at Luke 8. Look at Luke 8, verse 11. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. The same parable you see in Mark 6, right? In Mark 4, rather, right? So, verse 9, his disciples asked him, what does this parable mean? Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now look at verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. The seed of this farmer is the word of God. Go back to John. The word of God, or the word that was with God, is the seed. So John tells you that in the beginning was the word. That means in the beginning you must see a seed. So John now tells you, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. He's saying the word, Luke now tells you, the word is the seed. So in the beginning was the seed, and the seed was with God. So God had a seed he had in mind to plant. So go back to John chapter 1. Genesis 1 rather. So look at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Now, you now see the writers of scripture now tells you, except a corn of wheat falls to the ground, it abideth alone. Except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abideth. So for every beginning of God, there is a seed. What is the seed? The word. What is the word? Himself. So God will plant himself as the seed, which is the word that is planted in the heart of the man, just like the farmer that will plant the seed on the ground. So when you read Genesis 1, Moses says, Jesus, now, no forget, John 1, 14, after you have read verse 1, it says the word was with God and the word was God. John 1, 14 now says the word became flesh, right? The word became flesh. Now, Jesus now says, if you believe Moses, you believe me, for he wrote of me. So in Genesis chapter 1, when you see in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, it means that what you should find in the beginning according to John is the word. What you should find according in the beginning is that the word was with God, and the word was God, and that word became flesh. So what you will see from Luke 8 is that the word is the seed. So what should you find in the beginning? You must see the seed. What is the seed? The word. What is the word? God himself. So when you say in the beginning, you must think of God planting a seed to start a new agricultural season. Are we together? So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It means that you ought to see the seed. You ought to see the word, because John tells you, oh, you might not see the word literally in plain black and white context in Genesis 1, but in the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. In him was life. So you now see in verse 4, John 1, we did get there. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. What is in him? So in the seed, we will see life. So the seed has a light, and the life will become the light of men, right? Which will be the light will become the life of other men that will come forth for the seed. Are we together? So remember, we started on Monday, we're explaining the promise of the seed to Abraham, that we have many seeds. So it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Dear saints, this will be a prophetic opening. That means the Bible is opened up with a prophetic statement. So it means that in God's new beginning, he will create a heaven, or create an heaven, or the heaven and the earth. Or in God's new beginning, you will see a union between heaven and earth. That is why in the resurrection as the new beginning, that is what we receive in Matthew 28, Jesus says, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. All power there, the word there, power, is the word authority. It will not mean all power, including demonic, satanic. No. It will speak about an authority regarding the resurrection. So what did Moses now explain in verse 2? He says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Hold on. Ideally, in the beginning of an agricultural season, where does the farmer plant his seed? The farmer plants the seed on the earth. But if God is a farmer that has a seed to plant, where will he plant his own seed? In the heart of men. So it means that the earth in verse 2 will describe men, not the earth. Are we together? So, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Are we together? What is he saying? Amongst men there was darkness. Amongst, in the heart of men, there was darkness. What quenches darkness? It is when the seed is planted, or it is when you now take care of the land so that you can plant the seed. Are we together? So what is the solution to darkness on the face of the deep, or upon on the earth? It is the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the what? The waters. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the what? The waters. What is the Spirit of God about? He says, verse 3, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Are we together? And God saw the light that it was good. Now, this is what God will do in the resurrection. And God divided the light from darkness. So in the resurrection, we've come into light, and there is a division. So in God's new creation, there's a division between light and darkness. In God's new creation, there's a division between that which is without form and void, and that which has a form and void, or form of godliness in Christ Jesus. There is that division, which you now call light and light, which is day, and night, which is evening. You continue on that way. So Jesus says, if you believe Moses, you believe me. John says, in the beginning was the word. Mark, Jesus says, the word, the sower sows the word, which is the seed. Look by Luke 8. So it means that God's plan on the earth is to build a people that will be called light, to take them out of darkness and divide them from darkness, that is, separate them from darkness. So it means that God in the resurrection will build a people. So you now see Moses again in Genesis 28. Look at Genesis 28. Genesis 28, verse 13. Genesis 28, verse 13. Remember, in God's new beginning, there will be a people, or there will be seeds planted in the hearts of men that were full of darkness. Now, when that seed comes into the heart, light has come, because the seed is the word and the word is the light. Are we together? So God said, let there be light, will mean God gave his spirit to the darkness that was on the heart of men, or on the earth. So when you say the spirit moved upon the face of the deep, is don't think about the spirit, you know, just brooding over the sea or whatever that is, right? But in the real sense, it's about the offering of the spirit to mankind. So look at Genesis chapter 28. And behold, verse 13, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father. Now we said, when you understand the promise of God to Abraham, you understand the promise of God to Isaac, and you understand the promise of God to Jacob. So this is Jacob having a narrative. Now look at verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he lighted up a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took off the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed and beheld. So in his dream, his vision, he beheld a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached heaven. So it means that what Jacob is doing or is seeing in his dream is a link, a connection between heaven and earth. Now, John will now tell you in chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, that is the reality. So that ladder will show or speak of a way or a link between heavens and earth, which is what Jacob is seeing in Genesis 28, written by Moses. So Jacob will see a ladder, that is, he's seeing a connection between heaven and earth. Now, Genesis, Moses will say, verse chapter 1, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. So there's a beginning that God will do that will deal with heaven and earth. So what did he see? And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Verse 13 now says, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and of God the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. So there's a promised land, are we together, to the seed. Genesis, Galatians now tells you that the seed was promised, or the seed is about Christ. Are we together? And now, the same promise of the land and to the seed was to Abraham. Are we together? So if God promised Abraham a land and a seed, and after Abraham gave birth to Isaac, yet he still promised Isaac a land and a seed, it means that the seed and the land promised to Abraham was not Isaac. Now, if God promises Isaac a land and a seed, and Isaac gave birth to Jacob, and God still promised Jacob a land and a seed, it means that the land and the seed promised to Isaac is not the land that is not Jacob. To Isaac, is not Isaac. To Abraham, is still a promise. So you call it a promised land. So he says, I will give you a land, and to thy seed will I give that land. So God's seed, remember, God's seed will be God's word, which became flesh, that is Christ Jesus. That's why Galatians now tell you, to thy seed, which is Christ, not seed as of many. But in that seed, which is Christ, you will have many seeds coming to that land, right? And to thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thy seed, rather, shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad the word. So in that seed, we'll see a new creation. We see a new birth. We see a new people, a new species that are born of God, born of the Spirit, born of water, that is born again. You do get that? That's yesterday's teaching, right? And there shall be as the dust of the earth. Now they shall grow, or they shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That is, they will be welcome into a household. They will be well spoken about. Now look at verse 15. And behold, I am with thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Remember, we saw that. Who will God be with in the real sense? God will be, in the real sense, with the people or the seed that will come out from the seed that spreads abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. So I will be with thee, will be an assurance, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have what? Spoken. Now look at verse 16. And Jacob awakened out of the sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. There says, what did Jacob see in verse 10, verse 11, verse 12? He saw a ladder linking heaven and earth. So what did Jacob see? He saw a conversation regarding heaven and earth. Are we together? That is connected by a ladder. Are we together? So surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Now he was afraid in verse 17, and he said, how dreadful is this place? This is no other place but the house of God. So what is Jacob really saying as heaven and earth? He actually calls heaven and earth the house of God. So the heaven and earth are spoken about Genesis chapter 1. We actually speak about the house that God is building. Right, so the new creation in Genesis 1 verse 1 speaks about the house of God. Speaks of, because that is what Jacob saw in his vision. Right, so he says, this is no other place. What did he see in the house of God? Heaven and earth. What did Jesus say in Matthew 28? All authority in heaven and earth. Why is the authority given to Jesus? Because the authority is about his house. Jesus is the firstborn in that house. Are we together? So he has the authority. Hallelujah. So this is no other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. Are we together? And Jacob rose up in the morning and took the stone that he had put for a pillow, that is where he saw what God will do on the earth, which is God is building a house, and set it up for a pillar, and he poured oil upon the top of it. Now, the word there in verse 17, house, is the word bayit, and it's a word used for both a place or a building or a place where a family stays or where they dwell, a dwelling habitation of a people, or used for a people. Now, remember we said that in John 1. Yeah, that's where you have the root of the word oikia in John 14, rather. So it says, in my father's house, that's the word, in my father's house, that is house of God, that is beit. Yeah, it, what is beit? Used for a place where a family stays, or used for a family, or used for a household. So you can say, in my father's house, what will house be in John 14? Where a people stay, where a family stay. Or in my father's house, there are many dwelling places. That is, in my father's house, God will dwell in so many people that will together become the house of God or the household of God. So in my father's household are many dwelling places. So what did Jacob see? I saw the house of God. So it's a word used for both the place where a family stays or used for the family. So it means that the word oikia or the word beit is used both for the house or the household. So what did Jacob see? Jacob saw what God will do on the earth. That means God will supply a link between the heavens and the earth. Are we together? Right? So look at Genesis 28. Genesis 28 verse 18. Right? So what did Jacob do in verse 18? He took the stone which he had put for his pillow, set it up as a pillar, right? Are we together? And poured oil upon the top of it. So, did God ask him to pour oil? No, no, that was his personal decision. Look at verse 19. And he called the name of the place Bethel. Now, Bethel is gotten from the two Greek words or two root words, Beith and Elohim. Beith and Elohim. Right? So, Beith, remember, is house. Elohim is God. So when you say Beit Elohim, it is house of God, or what can we say? Household of God. Are we together? So he called the name of the place Bethel. Right? So he called the name of the place the house of God. What did he see there? Heaven and earth. Are we together? So it means that in the beginning, in God's new creation, he will create a house. That is, he's creating a heaven and earth. Or he's creating the heavens and the earth. So whilst the heavens and the earth you would think about, speaks about sky and where man stays, it's a prophetic statement to talk about what Jesus will do in the resurrection. That is why in the resurrection you now say all authority is given unto me. Look at some Genesis 31. Next two chapters, Genesis 31 verse 12. Genesis 31 verse 12. And he said, lift up now thy eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are speckled and grizzled, and I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. Now it comes back in verse 30. It says, I am the God of Bethel. Now remember, Bethel narrative happened in Genesis 28. So God says, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar. The word they anointed, right, is the word that is mashak in the Greek. The word anointed is the word mashak in the Greek. Now, what did Jacob see? Jacob saw heaven and earth coming together, then he anointed the place. So it means that where Jacob saw heaven and earth, you see an anointing on the surface of where he saw it. The word there, mashak, is a word that means to anoint a place. And that is the one of Genesis of the words anointed in the Bible. Now, take note, the anointed is what Jacob did. What he used was up to him. But the action was to anoint the place with oil. That was a cultural conversation. right? So in the Hebrew, you see the word Mashach. Meanwhile, that word Mashach, that is anointed, is actually the word Christos in the Greek, which is where you got the word Christ in your day-to-day English language. So Christ is Christos, and it means anointed, which in the Greek will speak of what? Mashach. Or in the Hebrew, will be Mashach. So Mashach in the Greek is anointed in English, and Christos, oh, right, I'm saying, okay, sorry about that. Mashach in the Hebrew, right, is Christos in the Greek, and Christ in English, and anointed in English, or the anointed in English. So Christ is the Mashach, that is the Messiah. Now that word the Mashach is also the root word where you get the word Messiah from. So Christ is the anointed, that is Christ is the Messiah. Are we together? Now, what did Jacob see? Jacob saw what God will do on the earth, that is the genesis of, or what God will do as the creation of heaven and earth in a beginning. So Moses will first say it. God created the heavens and earth. Now, remember, Moses will say it after Jacob had seen his vision. So Moses will say God created the heavens and earth. Jacob will see God creating heaven and earth with a ladder in a vision. He will now anoint that place, and we will call it the anointed place that Jacob anointed. So look at Matthew 16. Look at Matthew 16, verse 13. Are you there? Matthew 16, verse 13. So when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some say thou art Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, can we say Simon said to him, "Thou art the Mashach," that is in the Hebrew, or "Thou art the Christos" in the Greek, which you see as "Thou art the Christ" in English, which is actually "Thou art the Anointed, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Right? Now remember, what did Jacob see about a link between the heavens and the earth? And Simon Peter in verse 16 said, "Thou art the Christ, that is, thou art the anointed, that is, thou art the Mashach, that is, thou art the Christos, that is, thou art the Messiah," or Christ the Messiah, "the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona," that is Simon, son of Jonah, "for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Look at that again. "I will build my church, and upon this rock I will build my church." Look at Matthew 16 again. He says, "And I say unto thee," verse 18, "thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." I will build my church. Now the word there, "build," or "I will build," is a single word in the Greek. And it's a word that is oikodomeo. I'll spell that for you. O-I-K-O-D-O-M-E-O. Now, which will have a root or a similar, you know, an offshoot really from the word where you see the word oikia, which is in John 14, which is "in my Father's house." Are we together? So that is a word that deals with a building or an ongoing building. Are we together? I will build in the real sense. Now, the church in the real sense, by extension, will be what you will call the body of Christ as a whole, and which you will call the bride of Christ. But particularly will be involved or involve people who have fellowship or who are in fellowship with the Father. Are we together? So I say unto you that, Peter, upon this rock I will build. You can say I will establish my church, right? And the gate of hell. Now, upon which rock will it establish? It will be upon the anointed rock. That it will be upon Christ, or the revelation of Christ. Are we together? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, we said that over time, God was not building, or is not building, his church upon Peter, right? He's not doing that. So that work of "I will build my church" will be a finished work through the resurrection, and will be an ongoing work as well. Why? Because what he builds as the body of Christ will involve more people being members or joining or now receiving fellowship to be a part of, right, as the days unfold. So our task as people who are already body of Christ, the body of Christ, will be to bring more people into the body of Christ. So that's a building. That means the body of Christ will keep building. So whilst it's a done finished reality by the resurrection, it's still an ongoing work. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 12. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is what? Christ. For by one Spirit are we all what? Baptized. Can we say we are now in fellowship into one body or with one body? So by one Spirit, we all are baptized in one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. Are we together? The body is not one member, but many. So it means that there is the ongoing and there is the finished fact about the fact that, oh, there's a Spirit supplied as the body of Christ. And when a man drinks of that Spirit, he becomes a member of the body of Christ. So when Jesus says, I will build my church, it will be both a immediate post-resurrection reality and a continuous post-resurrection reality. So the church of God is being built. Are we together? It's an ongoing conversation. Are we together? So there is such a thing called the universal church, and there's such a thing called the local church. Now, as the word implies, the universal church will speak about the universal fellowship that every believer has with each other, by extension with the Father. While the local church will be a church that is based on your locality or a local environment you find yourself. So there's a difference between the universal church and a local church. So look at it this way. When a local church has an issue to be addressed, we don't impose, whilst it will affect the influence or affect to an extent the universal church, the local church ought to be addressed or to be corrected on that issue. That is why when you see how John will write the book of Revelation, he will address 7 local churches. Are we together? So the universal church or other churches that are not among those 7 local churches can read letters to those 7 local churches and know where to adjust if need be, or to able to check if they are on track or setting conversations. Altogether, so there's universal church and there's the local church. The local church is an avenue where people who are from the universal local church or universal church come together amongst their locality to have fellowship. Are we together? Or to pay attention to the fellowship they have with the Father, right? So that will involve them being deliberate partakers in a communication or as a community. So there will be the large community, that is the universal body of Christ, and there will be the local community, that is the local church. So local church will be within your confines or the confines of your reach. So when Paul now tells you, for as the body is one and hath many members, that will speak about the universal church. And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. That's the body of Christ, the universal church. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit, we all, who are the we all? The we all there will not be unique to your local church, but the universal church. So for both one Spirit, for by one Spirit rather, are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew. So either your local church is in the Jewish nation, or the Gentile nation, or in Ekiti, or in Imo, or in Enugu, right? The real sense is that everybody has drank of one Spirit as believers, and we are baptized into one body. So whether master, whether subordinate, whether master, whether slave, whether whatever you want to call it, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we're bond or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many members. Altogether. So it means that there is a need for us, or there's a need for communication amongst all of us who are called the body of Christ. Are we together? Look at how he says it in verse 15. If the foot shall say, now that's not saying there are some believers that are foot, why some are eye? No. It's a figure of speech explaining a body. How we are all needed, or we are in fellowship and we need ourselves. So because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye and I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where we were hearing, if the whole were hearing, Where were the smelling? And you know, and go, so that says, but now, verse 18, had God set the members, every one of them in the body, and it had pleased him. And if there were all one members, where were the body? But now are there many members, yet one body. So it means that there is a need for each and every one of us to collaborate together to do something. So how would the body of Christ actually get or bring more people into the body of Christ? It is when people come together as believers to bring more people into the light. The fundamental place that will be done, or the way that will be done, is through the local church in your locality. So what is local church? Local church is a place where people who have the same spirit, that have drank the same spirit within the locality, come together to feast, to get to grow in grace, that is, in the knowledge of that spirit they've drank. Are we together? Look at Hebrews 10. Look at Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, 23. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Are you there? Look at Hebrews 10. Look at Hebrews 10. Verse 23, he says, look at 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Now look at verse 24. And let us consider one another, right? Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. How do we do that? 25. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Not forsaking the assembling of, I'm saying that again. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now, the word assembling is a word that speaks about a gathering together in one place. A gathering together in one place. Now, because there is no building in the real sense, right, that will house all the believers in the world. That is why there's a need for a local assembly. Because that is, since we are instructed in scriptures not to forsake the assembly, that is, don't neglect. Are we together? The word there, forsake, there is a word that means to abandon, to desert, to live in strait, or to live helpless, or to totally abandon, or utterly forsake, or to leave behind. Are we together? Or to leave away, or to stay away. So it says, not forsaking, that is, not staying away from the coming together in a place of ourselves together. As the manner of some is. So some people do that, and they try to say, oh, God lives in me and dwells in me in the house. The Christian faith is a call to an assembling. Are we together? Right. See, if there was a place in the real sense that could house everybody on earth, in the real sense, we all ought to be there. But there will be a need of us having that place divided into bits and portions, because the earth is actually full of so many believers in different and diverse locations. So what the Hebrew says, it says, not, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good work. What is the goal of actually coming together? It is to provoke. Provoke what? Not provoke strife. Not provoke covetousness. Not provoke jealousy. Not provoke ourselves unto devilish satanic works. But to provoke ourselves one to another. Look at that. The word there, provoke, just means there to stimulate. Are we together? Dear saints, you are either stimulating positively or stimulating negatively. Are we together? Let me say it again. You are either stimulating positively or stimulating negatively. But there is such a thing as provoking unto love. So when you stimulate positively, love must have been the foundation. Are we together? Either you are, see, let me say it this way. In the local church, now you are either stimulating by your actions or inactions to a large extent good works, or you are stimulating bad works. You are either stimulating forgiveness of sins, or you are stimulating hatred. Right, you are either stimulating lust or you are stimulating love. Are we together? You are either stimulating. So there is a place of provoking unto love and to good works. Yet we, let us consider one another and provoke ourselves unto love and to good works. How? Not forsaking. So the goal of the gathering is so that we can provoke ourselves. Are we together? That's why you see when we have believers meetings, you hear me say things like, oh, the same spirit in me is the same spirit in you, the same spirit in that brother, the same spirit in that sister, and the same spirit in that sister is the same spirit in that brother. Why? That is to provoke you unto good works. So he says, not forsaking the assembling, the gathering together, the festivity. Are we together? The gathering together of the saints. Now, hold on. Go to Hebrews 12. Look at Hebrews 12. You remember in Hebrews 10? Look at Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, 22. So Hebrews 12, 22. Ye are come unto Mount Zion. Are we together? So God's palace is only Mount Zion to the degree in which it is considered a local church where people in God's Mount Zion have come together to fellowship. Are we together? Mount Zion will speak about the universal church, right? And unto the city of the living God. The city of the living God will speak about the universal church. The heavenly Jerusalem will speak about the universal church. But amidst the universal church, that is the heavenly Jerusalem, there will be people who are of that universal church in a within a particular locality that will come together to feast. This is what he now says in verse 23. He says to a general assembly. The word the assembly is the word that speaks of a festival, right? So there's such a thing called a festival in the resurrection. Right, it means that we are not saved to isolation, but we are saved into a family. Nobody has festival alone. Yeah, I'm having festival alone. I'm fasting that only you are walking from airport road to airport, or you're walking from airport road to Usetu, and you're having festival. No, a festival is a gathering, right? A celebration, a loud celebration of so many people. Are we together? A festival gathering, is like to celebrate a public solemn, or to celebrate something publicly, so to say, right? A public celebration. So we are called to, we are the general assembly that is the church of the firstborn. Now, having been members of the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God, what now happens? We are called to provoke ourselves unto good works. Go back to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Now, Hebrews 10, it says, verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love. That is the word to stimulate to good works. Look at 25. Not forsaking the assembling, that is the coming together in a place. Dear saints, God's goal is that we come together in a place. Let me tell you something for free. Online method is just something that can be tolerated depending on what is happening per time. Online method is a method that can be tolerated, but it is not God's original plan, right? The original plan of God is the gathering, physical gathering together into a place. A place is a building, a location. That means there ought to be a location where the believers come together to provoke themselves to good works. What did Hebrews say? He says, not as some of you. Right, that means there were some of them who forsook the gathering or the assembling of ourselves together. So you can't do, the Christian faith is a faith where you don't do without a local church. Altogether. So because think about it, imagine if we all as Christians needed to go to Israel to have fellowship as believers. Right? So because we will not all go to Israel, to go to any temple in Israel, we can have what you call a local church around us within our locality. Are we together? So as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So the next primary thing after being called into a general assembly is to find a local assembly. I'll say that one more time. The next primary thing for the believer, having been called into the... Now, you know, you've received the God's Spirit. You've eaten the good of the land. You've drank God's blood, which is God's Spirit. You are born again, born of God, born of water, born of Spirit, born of everything. Yes, everything God, right? The next thing for you is to, from being a general assembly member, you are a local assembly member. Why? Because the goal of the local assembly is to teach about the work of the general assembly. Altogether. Or the goal of the... Look at Ephesians. Ephesians 4. We'll come back here quickly. Look at Ephesians 4. Are you in Ephesians chapter 4? Look at, so verse 11. So he gave certainly apostles, certainly prophets, right? Evangelists, prophets, pastors rather, that are teachers. So teachers common to all of them for the perfecting of the saints, their sins. An apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, pastors will be ministry gifts that will supply leadership within the local assemblies. What is the goal of the local assembly? It is to perfect the saints within that local assembly for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the world general assembly. Did you see that? You see that? For the perfecting of the saints in the local assembly, for the work of ministry, for the edifying, that is the building. I was together. For the edifying of the body of Christ. I was together. You see, that word edifying is similar to that word oikodomē. Now remember the word we saw, I will build my church, is the word that is oikodomio. Right? This word there, edifying, is the word that is oikodomē. Right? O-I-K-O-D-O-M-E. Which is oikia, or similar related in John 14. So it means that the building of the body of Christ is a continuous work. So what is your responsibility as a believer when you are saved? That is why Ephesians 1 first tells you how you are saved by the Holy Spirit. You have forgiveness of sins through his name, through his blood. He now tells you to be sealed with the Holy Spirit. He now tells you, chapter 4, there's such a thing as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, which are teachers, for the perfecting of the saints who has received the indwelling of the Spirit, receive forgiveness of sins. Altogether, he received the indwelling of the Spirit. He has received forgiveness of sins. Altogether. So what is the goal of local assembly? It is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the, that is the building of the body of Christ. So the building of the body of Christ is still an ongoing conversation. Whilst done, still ongoing. Hallelujah. So till we all come, so look at it. Different local churches, we meet in different places till we all come to the unity of faith. What is unity of faith? That is of the knowledge of the Son of God unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the false fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Are we together? So the local church is God's plan, where you have a ministry gift, whatever office you operate in, from verse 11, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, right? So that he can train you for the work of ministry, so that eventually we do the work of ministry to build the body of Christ. Did you get that? Right? So go back to Hebrews, or look at Ephesians 5. Look at verse 31, Ephesians 5, verse 31. He says, for this cause, look at verse 30, for we are members of his body. Can we say general assembly? Yes. Can we say universal church? Yes. Can we say of his flesh and of his bone? Yes, we are members of that. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Dear saints, for this cause, the brother or the brother who sanctifies and those brothers he sanctifies, they are all of one. Are we together? So leaving father and mother there, don't think of Jesus or God having a father and mother. No, it's a figure of speech you talk about, leaving a sense of privilege, right? Which Philippians will explain further, right? So so that he can join with his wife. Who is his wife? He says, this is the great mystery, verse 32. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Are we together? Christ and the church. Christ and the church. So the church is the wife of Christ. So the church will now be the general assembly. The church, because it will be the general assembly scattered all around the earth, there will be a need for the local or for a local church in a locality to train people regarding the knowledge about Christ and the church. Are we together? So they shall become one. The word their church is where you get the word ecclesia, which is the word that speaks about being called out. What are we called out from? We are called out from death, from sin, from this world. We are called into a people, into a family, into a gathering. Are we together? We are called into a gathering. We are called into a fellowship so that we can fellowship. Right? So we are called into a greater fellowship so we can know who to fellowship with. Did you get that? Right? So there is a need of believers who are already in fellowship with the Father to come together in a locality to fellowship. Yeah, that is what the local church is. So the local church is a place where we come together to learn about the goal or the vision or the work of the universal church. It says for the edifying of the body of Christ. Look at Hebrews. Go back to Hebrews. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Look at Hebrews 10. So it says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So the next primary thing for the believer, having received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, is to become a member of a family amongst the members of the general family. What did I just say? There is such a general family between the father and his children all over the earth. But you will not be able to travel every day from here to Sokoto. You will not be able to travel every day from here to Lagos. You will not be able to travel every day from here to Benin. You will not be able to travel every day from here to Imo. You will not be able to travel any day. You cannot travel every day that way. Right? Else, that will be all your life, what all your life will be about. Right? You travel first 12 hours, you come back first 12 hours every day. There's nothing else. You see that? So it means that there's such a thing as being a member of a group of family within a locality. So he says, not forsaking the assembling, the coming together in a, don't forget that, dear saints, the coming together in a place of ourselves. Not forsaking, we mean don't alter, it's God's plan. Don't desert, don't disregard, don't exempt yourself from Christian meetings. Are we together? Yet Paul taught this for, the reason of this is for edification. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14. Remember, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. How is it then, brethren? 1 Corinthians 14, 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together? Okay, what is it? For you to come together, it means you must not forsake the gathering of what? Brethren. When you say come together, where are they coming together to? They are coming together physically in a place. So how is it there, brethren? When? Not if you come together. It's not a probability. So the church in Corinth will come together. The church in Ephesus will come together. The church in Nigeria should come together. Right, but because we cannot all come together in Lagos, we cannot all come together in Abuja, we would have diversities of localities or local leaders amongst our, within our locality that will train us for the work of ministry. So, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm. Why? Why do you have a psalm? Because every one of you came together with the Spirit. You had a doctrine, you had a tongue, you had a revelation, had an interpretation. Let all things be done unto what? Edification. Edification. So, what is the goal of coming together? To edify. Paul will say in Ephesians, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So, there is the goal to edify, and there is a need to come together. I was glad. So, there's such a thing as edify yourselves. Jude will tell you, build up yourself in the most holy faith. Yeah, or you can dominate the similar words there. Praying in the Holy Ghost, you can edify yourself. But there's such a thing as receiving edification from a fellow believer who has received a spirit that is your brother. Are we together? There's such a thing as edifying yourselves unto good works. So look at Hebrews again. Hebrews 10. We are there for a long time today, right? Look at Hebrews 10. So it says, let us consider one another to provoke, that is, stimulate love. Are we together? Remember, Paul in Ephesians 12, we talk about the gifts of the Spirit. In chapter 13, speaks about love as the fulcrum that links the things of the Spirit, the foundation of the things of the Spirit. So we provoke ourselves to edification when we come together. So he says, don't forsake the assembling together into a place. Don't forget that too. There is, don't forsake the assembling, that is, the coming together of a people with the same Spirit in a place, a particular location. Why should you have the postcode of God? Why are the, yes, we know you are the address of God. Yes, you are, we know you are the, we know you are where God dwells. Yeah, we know God is everywhere. No, the scripture instructs that we come together. He says when you don't come together, you are forsaken. That's the word used for you. You are forsaken. What is the goal for coming together? We come together to exhort one another. Paul will say to edify. Are we together? So it means that we ought to revere the local church as a festivity that will come together for all that we come to attend based on the festivity we've come to in the resurrection. So the general assembly will be the body of Christ all over the world, and there will be the body of Christ that will meet in different and diverse localities depending on so many other factors. Are we together? So the Christian faith is not an independent faith. It's a community faith. Hallelujah. The Christian faith is an assembly faith. It's a festival faith. It's a faith of festivity. I don't know if I got that right. So it's a festival faith. It's a faith full of festival. So we are not saved to isolation, but we are saved to a family. So see, when you are a member of a family, you ought to have regular family meetings with your family members. There's such a thing as having family meetings with your family members. Why? What happens? So that you provoke yourself onto good works. So you come together, have meetings with your family members. That will now influence your activities outside of that meeting. Are we together? So we are the church. We are called out. We are called out by the resurrection. Called out from death, called out from darkness, called out from sin, called out from all manner of things. But we are not just called out. We are called into a family. Now, because the family ought to gather, and will not gather every at the same place every day, the same time, in the real sense. Now, think about it this way. Imagine everybody was to gather in a city all over the world. Think about the different time zones. How would that even work? How would that even work? You get that? So there's such a thing as local church. We see that littered all around the book of Acts. Look at Matthew 18 first. Matthew 18, verse 19. Matthew 18, verse 19. We know. Yes, you are the indwelling of the Spirit. You have the indwelling of the Spirit. We know you are the, we are born of God. Yes. You know, some people are very interesting. You know, I just commune. I commune with God in my house. Yes, you can commune with God in your house, but you are losing out on communication or communion with God in other people. Hallelujah. So God in you, what, see, the Spirit of God, see, when you hear somebody, let me tell you something, dear saints. When you hear somebody that said God asked him or her not to attend any church, that is the devil. The Spirit of God in the believer creates community. It instills, it pushes, it looks forward to it, it encourages, it pushes you to community. No, it's not an isolation faith. When you start hearing somebody saying, you know, all churches are the same. You know, let's not just do all the churches, they just collect everybody's money. All the churches are always thief. All of them are thief. That is the devil talking through their lips. Yeah? Yeah, those are the kind of people you say, get deep behind. Get deep behind me, Satan, I'll be devil. And you will not necessarily mean opposition. Anyways, I'm joking, you know. Right? So, but that is the devil. God does not lead people to be in isolation. It's impossible. God cannot lead you to be in isolation. God cannot lead you to be. See, it's either you are being pastored or you are pastoring. It's either of it. It's either, look at this to me, dear saints. It's either you are being pastored or you are pastoring. Even if you are pastoring, you are being pastored. Are we together? It is God's will. God's will creates and pushes communication. God's will creates community. It creates fellowship. You know, I'm in my room, I just fellowship with God in my room on my bed, and I hear God. Nobody say you cannot hear God. But there's such a thing as the God in you looking forward to give expression to edify another person who has God in him or her. You know, I just fellowship, I just join online and I just connect and I receive the anointing. Yes, you can get healed over the internet. You can get healed over live stream. Yes, you can. But it is not God's will, as in it is not God's plan. God's plan, scriptures expects that in the real sense, whilst it can be tolerated, whilst it can be permitted for certain reasons, in the real sense, men ought to get together to provoke themselves unto good works. It's a family thing. Yeah, the Christian faith is a family thing. It's not an isolation thing. No, you know, I just fellowship with my bed. I just turn. I just play the message. I just listen. Then I just take all my offerings and my giving to the orphanage around me. You know, there are so many less people. Oh, God, madam, a believer who doesn't go at the local church, a believer who is not a member of a local church, is in outright disobedience to God's will. Are we together? Look at Matthew's Gospel 18, verse 19. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together, yeah, they are gathered together, there is a fellowship. So two people who already have fellowship with the Father come together, there am I in the midst of them. But Pastor, you told us that God is already with you. See, it just goes for that to show you that the gathering of saints is God's plan on the earth. There ought to be a 2 or 3, there ought to be a 10 or 20, there ought to be a 100 or 500, there ought to be a number of people coming together. This did not in any way say that if it is not only two, God is not in their midst. No, that is not the point. The point is that the gathering of people who are in fellowship with the Father, they ought to come together and give expression to that Spirit. They ought to come together to provoke themselves to good works. When they don't do that, they are forsaking the gathering of the saints. Let's look through the book of Acts. Look at Acts 1. Look at Acts 1:4. Look at Acts 1. Look at Acts 1. Let's quickly look at the book of Acts. Look at Acts 1. He says, until the day, verse 2, in which he was taken up after he through the Holy Ghost had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for what? For that means they saw him physically. They attended meeting physically. How long? For 40 days. Look at verse 13. Verse 13, and when they were come in, they went up into the upper room where then were abode both Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, and what have you. He now says in verse 14, this all continued with one accord in prayer. One accord means they were in one place with one mind. Are we together? They were in one place with what mind? They continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. All together. So if you look at Luke 24, look at Luke 24 quickly. Look at Luke 24. Or look at Luke 24. And he said unto them, that's Jesus in the resurrection, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission should be preached in his name amongst all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witness of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So Jesus asked them to stay together. See, it is because they stayed together after teaching for 40 days that you see that they were continuing in prayer in Acts 1:13. So it is God's will. Jesus did not say, go to your various houses, I'll be together. Go to your various houses and go and be praying. He didn't say that. Is there anything going to your various houses to go and pray? No, but he didn't say that. He said, tarry ye together in the city of Jerusalem. That is, stay together in the same place. Go back to Acts. So when you see they gather together in one accord, they continue in prayer. Look at Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord, where? In one place. That means they were gathered together. Jesus started 40 days in one place. You see, let me tell you something. Even if there was internet in that day, Jesus will not ask them to meet online. I hope you know that. Because how would they have experienced what happened in Acts 2? You see, that each of them will now be seeing sound from heaven from their different rooms. That is not saying that is impossible. But how now? What will now happen that will make other people to be wondering at what was happening, to the point that Peter now preached for thousands of people to be saved? The Christian faith is a faith, a gathering of people in the resurrection that will gather physically within their locality. Did you get that? So suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And they appeared up unto them, cloven tongues like as of fire. So they were together on the day of Pentecost. They were in one place, in one accord. Look at Acts 2, verse 41. Now, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What now happened? And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayer. They continued, can we say they continued in one place? Right? In the real sense, if they had broken them, it would be they continued in different places, but as on a minimum where two or three are gathered. You get that? Right? Now, and fear came upon every soul, and many wondered the signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together. You see that? They were together and had all things common. Now they sold their possession and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily, what? With one accord, where? In the temple, in one place. And breaking bread from house to house, still one place, another place. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Really, what he's saying is that those that were saved were now added to the church. I went together. So that scripture is not saying that God chose who to be saved. They now add. No. And those that were to be saved were added daily to the church by the Lord, so to say. How? By the gospel being preached. Look at Acts 4. Look at Acts 4:22. Look at 21. So when they had further threatened him, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Now look at 23. And being let go, they went to their own company, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven. So it means they were praying the same prayer. That means they were together. Are we together? Look at 27. Look at 27. For of a truth, against thy only child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, that is Christ the anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Now 29 says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we might speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hands to heal, and that signs and wonders, yeah, my children, I and the children the Lord has given unto me are for signs and wonders, right, may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Now look at verse 31. And when they had prayed, right, the place was shaking. So that means they prayed together in one place. You see that? When they prayed, the place was shaking where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with what? Boldness. Did you see that? Look at Acts chapter 5 verse 12. Acts chapter 5 verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in where? Solomon's Park. Can you see consistency of one accord? Right from Acts 1, 40 days teaching, one accord. Acts 1, 14, days of prayer, one accord. Day of Pentecost, Acts 2, one accord. Acts 2, 41, 47, one accord. Acts 4, they were praying, one accord. 22 to 31. Acts 5, look at 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord. Where? In a place, Solomon's porch. Alright? And of the rest does no man join himself to them, but the people magnify them. And believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and what? Women. Look at chapter 5 verse 41. Chapter 5 verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Look at 42. And daily were in the temple, in a place. Daily in a temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. A place, a place, a place. From Solomon's porch to what you call daily in everyone's house. A place, dear saints. A place, dear saints. Look at Acts 6, verse 1. In those days, when the number of disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrew, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So why were they serving tables? Because they were together in a place. So, wherefore, brethren, look ye out amongst ye seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Are we together? But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of word. So, now, why do you suppose their widows were neglected? It was a conversation. It was because they were meeting together. If they were in their different houses, people would most likely not have known. Are we together? Look at chapter 8, verse 1. Acts 8, 1. Acts 8:1. And Saul was consenting unto his death as the death of Stephen. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at what? Jerusalem. So can you see there will be church in Jerusalem, and there might be people or other people in different locations. There might be. But this one actually was particular about the local church that was at where? Why do you call it at Jerusalem? Because Jerusalem is the locality by which they met. So there was persecution against the church, that is the people that were from the general assembly within the locality of Jerusalem, who would have met in a place in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea, Samaria, except the what? The apostles. Are we together? Right, that's when they were killing Stephen. Look at Acts 9:31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, they were what? Multiplied. All together. Look at Acts 11. Look at Acts 11, 21. Look at Acts 11, 21. Now they which were scattered abroad upon their persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed. Are we together? And they turn unto the Lord. What do you expect when a great number believes? They come together and continue in their locality. Now, and then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in what? Jerusalem. Are you there? Look at verse 26. Then departed 25, Barnabas to Tarsus, for to seek Saul. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Paul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year, they assembled themselves with the church. That means they met together physically and taught much people. Right? And the disciples were called Christian first in Antioch. Look at Acts 12:5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. How do you know in the real sense? You will see the conversation in scriptures about Peter going to meet the people that were praying, where they were met together physically. Look at it, verse 13. And as Peter knocked on the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken. Where was the damsel? Damsel was in a place where they were meeting together to pray. Are we together? And when he had considered verse 12 of these things, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together, doing what? Praying. So where were they gathered together? The house he went to. So he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John. So he went to John Mark's house, where they were gathered together, praying physically in a place, one accord. Then Rhoda now came to the door to see who was there when Peter knocked together. Together, 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 together. You see the consistency all through Acts. The book of Acts is the book of the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the early church. They didn't joke with gatherings. Look at Acts 13, verse 1. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed together in a place, they were not laying hands from their houses. They laid hands on them and sent them away from that place, in that place, in that meeting. Now we're together. Look at Acts 14. We can go on and on and on and on. Let's just close in Acts 14. Acts 14:21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. It says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 23 now says, and when they had ordained them elders in every church, that means every church now had elders, and they had prayed and fasted, at least prayed together with fasting, they commended them to the Lord, on whom they once believed. Are we together? So you see, elders were set amongst people. Why? Because you have the ministry gifts that will speak about those who will supply oversight, right, to the saints, so that the body of Christ may be edified at large. Hallelujah. So when Peter says, thou art Christ, thou art the anointed, and Jesus now says, I will build my church, it's an ongoing conversation. The universal church is still being built. Why? So once the universal church is being built, we go as disciples in our local church to build people or bring people into local church that will by extension be added to the universal church. So when we go out into the gospel, into the world to preach, what are we doing primarily? We are bringing people into the universal church. So it is first come into the universal church, then get a local church. Not come into the local church. No, it's not local church first. It is universal church first, then local church, so that you might grow. Because the universal church is about what? The general assembly of the saints. Those who have fellowship with the Father. Those who have received the indwelling of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So the saints does not grow in isolation. The saints grows, right, in a community, because it's a community faith where we come together, learn the sound doctrine or sound doctrine, learn the word of God, and we grow thereby by it and provoke ourselves unto good works. Hallelujah. So what's next after being saved is to actually give yourself to Bible study, believe the integrity of the word, believe in the resurrection reality, see it as eternal, believe in the goodness of God, by extension, believe in that call into the local assembly to learn yet more and more about the universal assembly and the goal of the church at large. That until I see you tomorrow morning again, I come your way tomorrow morning, by 9 o'clock, we come together for the gathering of the saints, the local church. Right? Local church is God's will. Local church is God's will. Local church is God's will. It is God's plan for your spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Have a lovely day, lovely weekend. See you tomorrow. I love you all dearly. I love you all dearly. I love you all dearly. Cheers.